were at our prayer cabin there in southwest Arkansas. Oh, 40 some odd years ago.
A day or two ago.
Yeah. And 1979. I was asleep and John and Kelly were asleep. You got up and washed your hair. And it's cool there in the morning. And the word of the Lord came to you about teaching healing.
You know, I'd let that slip. I forgot that.
Yeah, you remember you just washed your hair and he said, I want my people well.
Yeah.
And he said to you, just teach people what you've learned about healing and staying well, your children well and so forth. She's changed my life so many. She changed my life the day I met her. I was an angry young man, a lot of bitterness about me. And, I knew about the Lord. I was raised to know him. But anyway, we walked out on the balcony of National Old Line Insurance Company there in Little Rock. And she touched me on the back, and that bitterness left. And I fell in love with her. And 6 months later, we were married. And then, as I've already told you, then 6 months later, both of us accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then things began to change. And of course, I went to ORU and that was 56 years ago. But she began to teach and preach healing, not only here in the United States, but all over the world.
Praise God.
And you've heard her tell what we were in Manila and preaching for Dave Sumrall, who was Lester Sumrall's nephew, had a church there. And so Lester Sumrall had set that meeting up in the Philippines. We were in Manila. And the hotel where we were staying was large, and our suite was up high, and you could see this big fountain out there just shooting water. And the Lord spoke to you there because you were in Proverbs chapter 4, that out of the heart come the issues of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you taught that for so long that as long as that fountain was issuing any water at all, there was no trash could get in it.
That's right.
Amen.
You listened, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I've learned so much from you. And I get on my treadmill and I watch her in healing school. I get up before breakfast and get on that treadmill. And I'll turn her on healing school. And I learn from her. And I learn the things that she learned over the years. She's taught me so many things about our lives and improved our lives. And she's very, very kind. Her mother's one of the kindest people I've ever known. And our son John got on her last nerve. he was just a boy. Oh, no. She had an empty Perrier bottle in her hand right there in the living room. She threw that bottle at him, and he dug. He said, Mama, he dug. She flat-footed over that over that couch and landed on him. And then she got tickled and got up. So one night, we had just come home, been gone for several weeks. Came back in. I was tired. And I went to bed, and then here came all those flu symptoms, and I thought, oh, come on. Oh, Lord God, I am so tired. And then these symptoms of this flu had come on me from somewhere over right here. She landed on me. I mean, she landed on me and grabbed me by the head. You flu devil. You take your hand off my husband. And she's bouncing up and down. I had my head going up and down on the bed. You flu devil, you. She's hollering at Satan as loud as she could. And she got off. I bounced out and landed on my back on the floor completely healed. She got rid of the flu devil just like that. And so living with her is distinctly an adventure. But like I said, I've learned so much from her. Particularly her teaching and preaching healing for so many years. Now, I want to go back to this. I learned this from her. Well, look. Now, let me, and she said this and about the two of us, and it's true. We had salvation being born again up here. And healing somewhere like this, because you could get well.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have this, until we read in the 10th chapter of Matthew, when he had him, the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. The first, Simon, Peter, Andrew, and so forth. And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, in any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And she was teaching healing. And she said, freely, just feel free to cast out any devil you come up against. Just feel free, just run him off. I said, okay, I'll feel free to do that.
Don't hold back.
Yeah, don't hold back. Then, the 10th chapter of Luke. After these things, the Lord appointed or ordained other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your way, but I send you forth as lambs among wolves, and nor shoes salute no man by the way. Now, wait a minute. Well, see there, Brother Copeland, they were very poor. No, they're working for him now. He said a workman is worthy of his hire. He told them, don't take any extra clothes. I will take care of everything. Then right before he went to the cross, he said, when I told you not to take anything, did you lack anything? They said, no, Lord, we lack nothing.
Praise God.
And in a moment, I'll show you why. Heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And whatever city you enter, they receive you not. Go your way into the streets and the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaved to us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding. Be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. The kingdom of God. God wants his people well.
Amen.
Jesus prayed, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. Read the book of Revelation where it says the end.
Because Jesus paid the price.
He paid the price for it.
Right. It's been.
And then in the book of James, is there any sick among you? Let him call on the elders of the church. Let him anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith to save the sick. Faith in what? The name. Now, you remember this. I had a little white spot right there about the size of a grain of rice. And I looked at that, and I thought, what? I wonder what that is. And so I called my pastor, George Pearson's, and he and Terry came over, and Gloria was, we were in our kitchen. Gloria was there, and her very, very close friend, Bebe, was there. We had John and Kelly on the phone. Well, George, is any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he committed any sins, they shall be they shall be forgiving him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another, that you be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
Wow.
Praise God.
Well, George had his oil bottle there with him. He put that on his finger, and he touched that. And there was an electrical shock went through there. He touched that. Aha! That did it. I mean, it shocked me like somebody had just taken a leads of a battery and stuck to my hand. Kind of numb for a second. I said, that did it. So now I had gone to one doctor, and he said, well, it's malignant. Well, I paid no attention to that. And Gloria always thrills me. What a magnificent man. He just walked in there, and I said, I'm Kenneth Copeland. Yes, sir, I know. He said, my mother and dad have been your partners for a long time. Oh, yes, glory to God. So I knew I had a good man. He came back, and he said, it's malignant. I'm going to have to send you to another doctor that takes care of that. So we went to the other doctor. They came in there and said, okay, Mr. Copeland, we'll be prepared to stay from anywhere from 30 minutes to couple of hours or so, because the doctor is going to take little shaves of that and test it until there's no more cancer cells in there. I said, okay. So they did that. And it'd been 30 minutes. She came back and she said, well, Mr. Copeland, there are no cancer cells in there. I thought, well, of course not. James 5 took care of it.
Yeah.
They sewed it up, and you can hardly see the scar.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
See, the book. Now, that is First John 5. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We know that he hears whatsoever we ask. We have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, ask and he should give him life for him that sin, not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. There's no sin. There is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God or born of love sinneth not or doesn't practice sin. But he that's begotten of God, who is love, keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Glory to God. All of this, exceeding great and precious blood-backed promises. So what is the sin unto death? There is one. But you have to be, it's in the book of Hebrews. You have to be born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, operated in the gifts of the Spirit and the powers of the world to come, and then trample underfoot the blood of Jesus and account him, the blood by which he was saved, worthless. They can do that. Well, there's very few. But there are people that think they have and haven't. If you think you have, then you haven't. Because if you have, you know it.
Yeah.
There was one man that came into a meeting, and there was a tongue and interpretation of tongue. He stood up and interpreted it. He said, I guess you're surprised that I can interpret that. Oh, yeah, he said, I can interpret it. But to hell with Jesus Christ and everything he stood for, just walked out. The Bible said, it didn't say it wouldn't forgive him. It's impossible to bring him to repentance. He just won't do it.
Mm-mm.
Now, I've known one that I, not personally, but I was in a church service. And I kept seeing this man. And I kept seeing him. I kept seeing him. I kept seeing he was in the congregation. I kept saying things that he knew good and well it was him. And I said, you just looked at your watch right now because you're tired of hearing me carry this invitation on. And he hid his watch behind him.
Hmm.
I said, you're in a lot of danger. He turned around and walked out. I never did know what took place after that.
He walked out or you walked
out? The man that I knew who he was. And I knew he was on the verge of doing that. And I just kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. And I said, you just looked at your watch. And he was standing over here, and I could see him out of my peripheral vision. And he looked at his watch, and then he stuck that watch behind him. And he turned around, and he got out. It's all right there in the book of Hebrews. Study it. The blood of Jesus had to, you remember he said, Mary, don't touch me. I have to go to my father and your father.
I've not yet ascended.
Then the book of Hebrews tells what he did. He went before the heavenly Father and presented his blood. His blood is now on the heavenly mercy seat. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Then he came back and appeared to his disciples and so on. So, this is a healing book. It's a forgiving book. Glory to God. He will heal you of your sickness and disease. And if you've committed any sin, I want you to hear this. Is any among you afflicted, ill-treated, suffering evil? He should pray. Is anyone glad at heart? He should sing praise to God. Is any among you sick? He should call in the church elders, the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. And the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord shall restore him. If he's committed sins, he shall be forgiven him. Now the word save there is also translated heal. It's that same word, sozo, the Greek word.
Thank you, Lord.
The prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. Elijah was a human being, such nature as such we have, with feelings, affections, and constitution like ours, and he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he put us right there in the same category with him. He said he's just like us. They're just people. And we're people. But we're people that know God.
Yes.
And that's the reason God wants you well. He wants your family well. But don't forget the praise part. Sing psalms and hymns and praise. Praise him. Lift your hands to him. Paul and Silas at midnight at Philippi, beat nearly to death. They were in stocks. But at midnight, they sang psalms and praised and worshiped God, and the prisoners heard them. So they were shouting at the top of their voices. And suddenly an earthquake came and shook that prison. Well, it wasn't a natural earthquake because all of their chains and shackles fell off. The earthquake could shake the thing, but this supernatural earthquake. But the praise at midnight. So what's the midnight of your life? The worship and praise. Brother Hagin called it the praise cure. He said, if you praise long enough, the spirit of worship will come. And the spirit of worship comes, the glory will fall. If you're there and praise him,
praise
and
God.
Worship him.
Amen.
Which you and I have experienced that
praise
over
God.
The years. Go to a praising church, one that believes these things. Mm-hmm. It's extremely important to know that the God of heaven and earth is right here.
Amen. That's right.
When you realize that the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th chapters of John was that last Passover meal before Jesus went to the cross. There's things recorded here that you don't hear anywhere else. In that now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew the hour was come. Now listen to this. Therefore, when he had to get Judas out of that room. Satan entered into him, then Jesus said unto him, do quickly. Therefore, when he was gone out, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. Oh. The Father that dwells within me, he does the work. Now, I didn't know it, Gloria. But that night, I received Jesus as baptizer in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know any of that. But we're out of time. Gloria and I'll be back in just a moment.
Life situations can feel hopeless, but you, as a believer in Christ Jesus, have a life force that lives inside you. In the Miraculous Love Package, including the book by Kenneth Copeland, Walking in the Realm of the Miraculous, He describes how you can be surrounded by God's love and walk in the miraculous in your everyday life. Partnered with the Force of Forgiveness teaching on CD or digital download, Brother Copeland explains how forgiveness is the life force for you and your family. See how forgiveness is a force that relates exactly to healing, and to forgive others is an act of faith. There are things available to us in walking in the love of God that are not available in any other way. Learn how to apply this in your family life, on the job, and in everyday life. God's love in you changes situations. Request your free copy of the Miraculous Love Package. Walk in God's love and forgiveness and make living in the supernatural and the miraculous part of your everyday life. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. This offer is good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
I know God's plan and purpose for me is big. No matter where my ministry is, I want to go into it with a strong foundation of faith. That's why I'm going to Kenneth Copeland Bible College.
Get equipped so you can be an available voice for God wherever you go. Find out what it means to practically do ministry in the world. Find your faith, family, and calling here. KCBC Canada Campus opens this fall. Visit kcbiblecollege.org/Canada to learn more.
Prayer, the right kind of Bible prayer. If you need prayer, call our prayer line. We have licensed prayer ministers trained in the Word of God. They'll pray Scripture with you in faith. Get on the victory side of life. This is the Victory Broadcast. It's the Victory Channel. And maybe I'll have time to tell you where that came from. And until tomorrow, remember this. This is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And we're reminding you again that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise and worship Him right now wherever you are.
Let the Word of God build your faith. Kenneth Copeland calls KCM.org your study center. You can watch, read, and share faith-based content and teaching resources available to you free.